Morning. Reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. English Standard Version. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
I mentioned Arthur Matthews before. He served in World War II. He was a major in the British Indian Army. He was a missionary for many years. He's probably best known for a little book that he wrote that came out just a few weeks after his death in July of 1978. The book is Born in the Valley. And it was while working on this book that Matthews began to experience some health problems. This is how he tells it. During 1977, I had been having problems with my health, but no one seemed to know what was actually going on. Then in January 1978, after I had gone through another battery of tests, I was told I had Lou Gehrig's disease. I'm sure the devil counted on this diagnosis as something he could use to persuade me that my active service in God's army was over, that I should hunt up a clover paddock and enjoy what was left of life. So, in 1978, instead of scouting around for a luscious clover patch in which to get fat and lazy, I concentrated my thinking on the purpose of that mighty victory at Calvary and the implications of this for the Christian, for me. In other words, the last 6 months of his life, Arthur Matthews continued to fight the most important battle of life. He was fighting Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And in that book, Born for Battle, Matthews makes an observation from the time that he had served in World War II. He noticed that the men on the front line were focused on battle. They had a camaraderie. They had a trust in one another. And no matter how tough the battle, the men weren't complaining or grumbling because they were fighting for their very lives and the lives of others. But just a few miles behind the front, the attitudes were dramatically different. He noticed there was a lot of complaining, a lot of grumbling. Attitudes were often quite negative. What Matthew saw firsthand was the difference in attitudes based on proximity and engagement with the enemy. When you're fighting the enemy, you just don't have time to complain. When you're behind the lines, you start to look at how life is hard. Things are hard. What Matthews was saying is, as he's fighting this final battle of his life, I want to fight it at the front line. I don't want to go behind the lines, complain, grumble, look at how hard my life now is. Webster's Dictionary defines the front line as an area of potential or actual conflict or struggle. As a military term, Wikipedia defines the front line as the position that is closest to the area of conflict. And when you look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, this is frontline Christianity, especially verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. We can describe this kind of warfare, this intense warfare, putting to death what is earthly in us, as not just frontline combat, but hand-to-hand combat, with the goal of not bringing the enemy into surrender or incapacitating the enemy, but killing the enemy, extinguishing the life of this enemy. John Owen said something. John Owen was a Puritan who lived 350 years ago, but he said these words that are just as relevant today as they were 350 years ago, and they would have been relevant in the days of the Apostle Paul. He said, "Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." That's frontline battle. You're either killing sin, or sin is destroying you. There's not a middle ground here. And when it comes to this warfare against sin, there are several ways that we can approach enemy engagement. One, we can approach enemy engagement just defensively. So instead of a full head-on assault against sin in our lives, we can seek to avoid sin until it comes up against us, and then we're just trying to minimize. That's how a lot of Christians pass. They hope it just leaves them alone. And they'll deal with it when they need to deal with it. War that was much more common in the 1970s in terms of politics, foreign policy. With the French war, I don't know how many of you remember that. Means literally relaxing tension. And one way that you can deal with sin in your life is to try and negotiate. Simply try and live with that sin. Détente. Relax the tension. For some, they engage the enemy by desertion. That is, battle just becomes too tough. And so they run from the battle to the war. There's another one. It's really what you find here in Colossians chapter 3. You find it in other places in the Bible, and that is that you engage the enemy offensively. Your goal isn't merely to survive, but to destroy them. And that's the approach we find here in Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. This is frontline Christianity. Which one of those responses represents your character? Are you just defensive? Just trying to minimize the consequences of whatever sin it is that you might be struggling with. It's a detente. Just finding a way to live with this. Hoping that it won't be too much of a problem. Some of you maybe have found yourself in a position where you have dealt with a particular sin so many different times that you have finally said enough. You just want to desert. You just want to run. You find yourself in a position saying, okay, deal with this one more time. Then we come to a passage like this. Put sin to death. It's offensive. It's taking the initiative. Which one of these attitudes represents the way that you're handling engagement with the enemy? However, in order to truly be effective in this worker, we need to know something. And that is, we need to know our position in relation to the enemy. You need to know your position in relation to the enemy. It's not enough to know that there's an enemy out there. What is your position in relation to the enemy? So before Paul ever says, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, he said something before that. He said this. If then, verse 1, you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Why? You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When I read, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you? I need to know, first of all, that I'm doing it from my position of being raised with Christ. If you fail to see that, it's going to be miserable. You see, going back to that message I preached a couple of weeks ago, your identity in Christ changes the way you live. I'm going to ask you a question I asked you a couple of weeks ago. Who are you as a Christian? What labels do you wear? What labels have you allowed other people to place on you? So some of you, you wear the label of your sin. You become so ingrained with a particular sin that you just simply identify yourself with it. Some of you have tried so many different times to engage the enemy, to overcome a particular sin, that the label you wear now is failure. I just can't. Paul says, before you even think about life, death, what is earthly in you, you must remember you have been raised with Christ. You have died. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. And by the way, sin isn't your life. Christ is your life. Failure isn't your life. Christ is your life. When you look at Colossians 3:5, what do you see? Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. We're going to look at some of those more specifically next week. The whole point with that word, therefore, is that before you can put to death what is earthly in you, you need to do so from your new position in Christ. You need to fight this battle knowing that you have divine resources. You've been raised with Christ. You've died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. I think one of the saddest realities of so much that passes for Christianity is how much we attempt to do in our own strength, our own resources. Say, well, Pastor, what does it look like? It looks like this. It looks like one word missing. Say, I don't understand what you're saying. Here's what it looks like. Looks like this. Cut to death what is earthly in you. Wait a minute. Is that what it says? I left out a word. What did I leave out? It's not put to death what is earthly in you. It's put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. In other words, what Paul is saying is before you will ever be able to put anything to death, you have to go back to what I just said. You have to know that you have divine resources. You've been raised with Christ. You've died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, and Christ is your life. See, that little word therefore tells me that verse 5 is not about what Rob Gates can do in the strength of Rob Gates. But what Rob Gates, who has been raised with Christ, can do. You see the difference? See, if I take that therefore out, if I just kind of do one of those, I'm going to open my Bible and turn to a passage, and then I'm going to live it out. Oh, here it is, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Okay, I'm going to live that. I'm going to put to death, therefore, what is earthly. And here are some of the things that Paul lists. He talked about sexual morality and passion. So I'm going to do that. But if you fail to see that before Paul ever said that, he wanted you to see that you have divine resources that are available to you. That without those divine resources, you can't do verse 5. You can't do verse 5. Verse 5 is not about what Rob Gates or anybody else can do in their own strength. It's about what Rob Gates or any one of you can do who have been raised with Christ, who has Christ as their life. It tells me that my strength for battle is not found in my life. Strangely, it's found in my death. You have died. Your life is hidden with Christ of God. When did I die? Sometimes it looked like it. But when did Rob Gates die here? And what Paul is saying is, you're so united to Christ that the death that he died became your death. So that the life that he lives, now your life as well. He says, I died. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, I think of the strength of some sins. We're going to talk about this a little bit this week and next week as well. What does it mean to stand in the Lord's resources when you're coming up against a sin that just doesn't seem to want to let go? But here's the picture. I've died. Here's this sin that's coming against me. But it has to get through Christ and it has to get through God first. Because I'm hidden there. That changes my whole understanding, doesn't it? And then therefore it tells me that no matter how hard the battle is in verse 5, sometimes the battle is really hard. It tells me that I have a glorious future. It says no matter how intense that battle gets in this life, and believe me, when you're battling against sin, even the divine resources that are provided for you, it can be hard. But you have a glorious future. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. There is something incredibly liberating and freeing and consoling in knowing that no matter what sin I deal with now, if I'm in Christ, it will come to an end. You see, one of the things that you need to understand about sin are the three P's. Three P's. The Bible tells us that in terms of sin's power, that has been broken because of Christ. In terms of sin's penalty, because of Jesus, if you are trusting in Christ, the wages of sin is death. But Christ has taken that upon himself. The wrath of God that Paul speaks of in Colossians chapter 3 that is going to come upon all of those who continue in their sin you have been delivered from. You've been delivered from the power of sin. You've been delivered from the penalty of sin. You have not been delivered from the presence of sin. In other words, the war has been won, even though battles continue. The war has been won, even though there are battles that continue to wage. Sometimes, even losing those battles. Because of Christ, you have a glorious future. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There is coming an end to all of those battles. And that's supposed to kind of rejuvenate us a little bit and be thinking, wait a minute, God is going to bring this thing to an end. Don't underestimate that word, therefore. You need divine resources. What this battle is. Let me show you another passage that reinforces. You need the word strength. Probably the most well-known passage that we turn to in the New Testament anyways when it comes to spiritual battles is Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God. I'm not going to look at the armor of God. I just want to look at the first few verses of that section starting with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in what? The Lord. And in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What's the next word? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Here's Paul's point. You're not prepared to take up the armor of God and engage in frontline battle apart from first step. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Therefore, put on the armor. Stand firm. But you can't do it. Apart from verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You see, in this Colossians 3:5 frontline battle, there are two serious errors to avoid. Error number one, battle's all mine. I just got to pull myself together and work really hard and watch every episode of Dr. Phil I can get my hands on how to figure out how to overcome all these difficulties in my life. No notes, please. I don't need any notes about Dr. Phil. The battle's all mine. just got to pull myself up by my proverbial bootstraps. I got to get in there. I got to work really hard, and I've got to win this battle. That's one error. The second error is the battle's all Lord's. I don't have to do anything. If I'm losing this battle, I can just say, well, you know what? If the Lord wanted me to win this battle, he would have done something. So, it's not his fault. Battle's all mine. I've got to get in there. I've got to win this thing. Battle's all the Lord's. I can just be passive, not do anything. Those two errors have caused all kinds of havoc in living the Christian life. I think I've engaged in both of them. On the one hand, you read some book on holiness, you say, okay, I'm going for it. I'm going to really live this thing, man. And then I've been down the path. Just let go and let God. When sin comes knocking on the door, send Jesus to answer it. I want to show you from Scripture. You know, Scripture is so wonderful because it actually promises us, right? It has this way of saying, oh, by the way, Rob Gates, that's wrong. Let me show you a passage that helps you to see the biblical way of thinking on this frontline battle with sin. It's Romans chapter 8. So here we are. We're put to death with earthliness, and again, we'll come back to that next week. How do I do it? Is this all about Rob Gates putting in all the effort? Is it just, you know, I want to let go and let God, and God will do all of this? Listen to God's word. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to live, or not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, what? By the Spirit. What's the next word? You. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Question. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? By the Spirit. Who puts to death the deeds of the body? You. You see it there in the text. So which one is it? Is the battle all yours? Is the battle of the Lord's. You're to put to death the deeds of the body. But you can't do it on your own. What do you need? You need the Spirit. You do it by the Spirit. And that's essentially the same truth that we find here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. When you put to death what is earthly in you, verse 5, the light of your position in Christ, verses 1 through 4, you're not fighting the battle for victory. You're now fighting the battle from victory. And that's more than semantics. When you put to death what is earthly in you, verse 5, in light of your position in Christ, verses 1 through 4, you're not fighting the battle for victory. You're fighting the battle from that is. You're fighting with the resources that God has given to you for you to succeed. Now we're going to see in just a few moments what that looks like. But to read Colossians 3, 5 without verses 1 through 4 would be incredibly depressing. You know, at one time, Napoleon led the most powerful military in the world. So imagine Napoleon's military at its apex, coming up against the modern military of the United States. Before Napoleon's army could reload their muskets, the war would be over, right? Before a single cannon shot from Napoleon's Navy, the U.S. military would be raising the flag in victory. You and I are destined to failure. If we simply try to put to death what is earthly in us, we have to do so with our own resources, in our own strength. Now listen, someone says, oh, wait a minute, you don't have to be a Christian to overcome some sinful pattern in life. You don't have to be saved to conquer a bad habit. That's the truth. You do have to be saved to kill sin. You don't have to be saved to overcome a bad habit. A lot of people do that. A lot of people see certain sinful patterns in their lives and the negative consequences of that pattern, and they work very hard, and maybe they get some good counsel, and they learn how to manage it, and they even have some level of conquering that bad habit. The Bible doesn't say conquer these bad habits. Kill the sin. For that, you need divine resources. See, the false teachers at Colossae thought that believers needed to struggle and to work hard in order to get life, like a lot of religion today. What does Paul do? He says, wait a minute, you've been raised with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life. And now, from your position of life in Christ, go and do verse 5. Don't do verse 5 because you hope that in doing it, you'll get life. So I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to put sin to death because I'm going to try. And I'm going to hope that if I do that long enough and hard enough and I'm successful enough, I will get life in the end. That's religion. The Bible says, oh no. You don't start from death to work your way to life. You start with life to put sin to death. What a glorious gospel. See, the false teachers reverse the order. They taught work hard to keep the law, putting sin to death, learning their spiritual secrets, then you get life. In other words, do this and you'll live. Christianity says live and do this. Out of life, put sin to death. So let me just wrap this up by giving you some negatives and positives here. What does it mean and what does it not mean to put sin to death using divine resources? So you're here today and you're saying, okay, this sounds really good. I like this. But I'm afraid I might have tried this and it didn't work. Sounds really good on paper. Sounds really good in a sermon. Let me give you what this means and doesn't mean. I'm actually reversing that. I'm going to start each one of these with what it doesn't mean. Number one. So you're coming at this thing and saying, I want to live the Christian life, the divine resources that are provided for you. Well, it doesn't mean that battles against sin will be won easily. So if you're thinking that divine resources means my battles against sin are not going to be easy, you got it wrong. It doesn't mean that battles against sin will be won easily. But it does mean that battles against sin can be won. No matter how ingrained the sinful pattern is, you can declare that God has the resources. Number two, it doesn't mean that some sins won't be more stubborn or existent than others in our lives. Let's let you know that to be true. There are some things, you hear somebody saying, oh, I'm struggling with such and such. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't deal with that at all. And then somebody says, well, what do you struggle with? And he said, well, here's my struggle. I said, well, I don't have that struggle. Some sins may be more stubborn or resistant for any number of reasons. kind of like when the children of Israel are in the wilderness and they're overcoming different enemies. And God leaves enemies in the land to teach the children of Israel war. They don't all immediately vanish. Some sins will be more stubborn and resilient, resistant in your lives. So it doesn't mean that some sins won't be more stubborn or resistant in our lives, but it does mean that God's resources will not fail. And therefore, we must never give up or lose hope in the battle. But one thing Satan always wants to rob you of, because he knows it will make you the most ineffective, is hope. Take away your hope. Number three. It doesn't mean that divine resources will prevail regardless of our thinking. In other words, part of this spiritual battle is that we have a change in the way we think about our sin. Now, here where a lot of people struggle, they assume that somehow these divine resources are just going to work in their life while they continue to think the same old way. God plans to change the way you think. Doesn't mean that divine resources will prevail regardless of our thinking, but it does mean that with the divine resources available to us, we can think with new minds. So, listen to these passages. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desire, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think differently. Put on the new self, created in the likeness of God and true righteousness. And then the passage we have right before us, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are earth. And by the way, that doesn't mean that you walk around as the proverbial person who is so spiritually minded they're what? Of no earthly good. We're not in danger. We probably have the reverse problem. We tend to be so earthly minded, we're of no heavenly good. This is not about a person that has their head in the clouds. We're bored. It doesn't mean that sin that is put to death stays dead. There's a strange thought. Talk about a zombie. Right? Zombie sin comes back. Doesn't mean that sin that is put to death stays dead. This is where the Bible uses analogies, but we don't want to push them too far. One of them is that we put sin to death, but the way that Paul words this is put it to death and keep putting it to death. In other words, you don't just do it once. You have to keep doing it. It doesn't mean that sin that is put to death stays dead, but it does mean that by the Spirit we just continually cut the sword of sin. Last one. It doesn't mean that some struggles with particular sins won't be lifelong, even to the grave. You may be battling sin with divine resources, and it might be a particular sin. And it may be something that you find yourself at different times in your life struggling. And you might take that all the way to the grave. It's not a justification. Romans 7. Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my flesh. The desire to do what is good is with me, but there's no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I'm no longer the one that does it. Sin that lives in me. Sometimes I look at that and say, this man needs medication of some sort. He's not saying there was no victory in the flesh. What he's saying is the presence of sin is still here. I'm still struggling. I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm still struggling. mean he didn't know victory as well. So it doesn't mean that some struggles with particular sins won't be lifelong even in the grave, but it does mean that we can still know victory even while we struggle. Keep coming back to this and say it again. The fact that you're struggling against a particular sin is a sign of life. I know where some people say, you know, Pastor, if I'm struggling with a particular sin, does it mean I'm not a believer? More often than not, just the opposite. Non-believers don't struggle with sin unless it begins to cause a problem in their life. But it's not because it's sin, it's because it's a problem. The believer says, you know what, I'm grieved, I repent before God, and I come before the Lord for His forgiveness and His grace. Paul knew that. He understood that. And there are some sins, for whatever reason, we might find ourselves more inclined towards. And throughout our life, we have to be on our guard. We have to continually put the dagger to them. It doesn't just simply say, well, because I did it once, it disappears. And I know there are some Christians who may say, you know what? A sin I've struggled with all my life is worry. I keep bringing it before the Lord. I know one day it's going to be a perfect place, but as often as I'm able with the resources that God has given to me, I keep trying and I'm putting that thing to death. And I do see areas of victory, but for whatever reason, it's a lifelong struggle. There are struggles like that in the Christian life. But I'm so thankful for a gospel that comes along and says, put sin to death, therefore, because you've been raised with Christ. Because you have died, your life is hidden in Christ and God. Because Christ is your life, put sin to death. Lord, we look at the serious business of living for Christ. We read a passage like this in Colossians 1:5, and we want to take it seriously. Every word counts. But that little word, therefore, reminds me I'm not in this by myself. That little word, therefore, tells me that there are resources that I have been given because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. That even makes verse 5 a possibility. The battle's real. Front line. It's not an easy place to be. Spiritual battles that are being fought even here in this room are very real. I pray that each one will leave here trusting Christ. And knowing that their strength is in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And the strength is my strength. Then you're ready to put on the armor of God. Put sin to death, therefore. Put these things that are earthly in you to death. Don't do it until you understand you've been raised with Christ. Your life is not your own. You died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your birthday. Maybe there's somebody here who's never thought of the good news that way. Just think of the good news. Just try harder and harder and harder. That's religion. Do this and you'll live. Christianity is said to receive life and then do this. Maybe there's somebody here that has never done that. They've never embraced their life that Jesus gives. Even in the quietness of these moments, do a work in the lives of those who are here. In Jesus' name.